You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I guess it's got to keep coming around every few years. Now it's part of the big shared universe.
Everything's a verse.
Everything's got to be a verse. See, it's so funny that like so many people make this big show out of going, and now our shared universe. And except for Marvel, it doesn't really work. And these guys who made the Conjuring movies were like, oh, wait, we have a shared universe. They fell ass backwards into having a shared universe. But now they're like, okay, so it is a shared universe. So now all the movies have to have, like, multiple after-credit scenes.
And now I care even less.
Of course, Annabelle Creation, the second and the prequel to the prequel, you know, it makes you wonder, like, is it possible there's even more prequel story that we don't know about it? So that the third one will, in fact, be an Annabelle
proto-creation? I guess the first one, in addition to not being very good, it did kind of leave, sort of start in the middle, I guess, of the doll's story.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess you could manufacture a prequel story out of that. I can't imagine they'd imagine a prequel out of this.
Yeah, well, you say that, but this is Hollywood. There's money to be spent. Annabelle Creation is, let's see. So there's The Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creation, and then there's going to be the Nun, and then the one about the big stretchy guy.
The Crooked Man. And then The Conjuring 3.
And then The Conjuring 3. So they're just going and going and going. And this one is... as opposed to the first Annabelle, which they pretty much just got a bunch of schlock directors and writers to do it, this one actually got David F. Sandberg, who got a lot of attention for doing Lights Out, which I thought was a pretty darn good debut horror film that also, weirdly enough, was a case where, you know, it was a famous internet short that he did, and they actually let him direct the movie as opposed to just buying the rights and handing it off to somebody else. And so you're like, okay, so there's a little bit more feeling going into this one that maybe this is going to be better than the first, and I think we can all agree that it is indeed better than the first.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
I can definitely appreciate the fact that there was an effort, and that sounds like faint praise. Like, in the end, I think you'll hear me say that I thought this was pretty good, but...
It's medium praise.
Yeah, but in comparison to the first one, where you took an idea like The Conjuring, people really liked it, it made a lot of money. Horror, if it's really good, it has a really really good following, will make money at the box office almost irregardless of quality.
Yeah.
So was evident in the first one. Yeah. Yeah. I like saying irregardless because
you're a contrarian.
I know.
You're a contrarian.
I'm glad you said it. I was going,
they'll make money, you know, regardless of quality. And that was fairly evident in the first one. And so,
Yeah. I mean, they make big haunted house style spook rides is their the whole Blumhouse Conjuring series thing. And I think they've never done it better than the first Conjuring, which had the right running time. It had the right kind of like where they had figured out a way to go like, we're not just going to show you all the scares in the last 10 minutes with a couple lead ups. We're going to get it started pretty fast and just keep them coming.
And that definitely was the case with this one. I mean, it was just seriously solid jump scares for 2 hours straight, pretty much.
I mean, yeah. I mean, technically you could say they're all jump scares. It's just whether or not they're jump scares that lead to absolutely nothing, or it's part of a larger, like it's going as one big intense series of you can't escape it. Which I think even this movie gets into it and spends more time with that level of horror than your average, you know, lots of jump scares horror film. It's one of those, once it really starts going, it's like, okay, and now from here on out, it's going to be like tension to the end. That being said, at a 209-minute running time, this takes an awful long time to get to that point. The story is Anthony LaPaglia and Miranda Otto. We meet them. He's a doll maker. Uh-oh. And has already, right when it starts, he's made the first Annabelle. At that point, is just a doll that's unusually creepy looking for some reason. Don't know how he expects to make money off those things. And they have a cute little daughter whose name is Annabelle. But no, she's just a regular little girl. But oh no, she dies. Flash to 12 years later, and you see a bunch of the place is being turned into a orphan home for orphaned girls, and with like a nun and a priest are there, and Miranda Otto is nowhere to be seen, but apparently is staying in a bedroom where we know something's up with her. We just don't know what. Yeah. And then Paglia is not his joyful light self anymore. He's more sort of yes, no.
Because, you know, throughout his entire career, he's nothing but joyful and...
Well, no, but he was kind of like, you know, the happy dad before. Now it's like he's just not a guy who smiles. But he's, like, agreed to have these girls come into the house. The only thing is, the rule is, don't go into that one bedroom, which you can tell by the markings and the height markings on the door was formerly Annabelle's bedroom. Well, one of the little girls in there, there's like two teenage girls who weren't you just right off the bat going, well, they're going to die immediately. Well, I would say this film defied your standard slasher type horror expectations, but there's two little girls, one of which has polio. So she walks with a crutch and the other's her adorable little friend, and they're best friends. And the movie focuses on them so much right off the bat. You're like, okay, so they are the protagonists here clearly. And the one with the crutch starts having kind of weird stuff happening to her, starting off with basically having the door open up for her into said bedroom and experiencing finding a closet and locked inside of it is the doll. Oh, oh, oh. And from then on, things slowly, ever so slowly start building to eventually we get to the whole crescendo, which is kind of confusing considering... supposedly it's about the doll and there's all this other shit going on.
Yeah.
I was always kind of baffled by that because you're just like, I mean, I know that happened in the last movie too, but I'm always like, so is the doll evil or is it just kind of like a warning sign on the way to evil? You know, the doll doesn't really do anything.
It's a conduit.
It's a conduit. It's a...
Well, and I also feel like going back to the movies, I felt like at one point in one of the movies, it was explained that like, that they didn't know where the demon came up with the name Annabelle. And so like,
right.
it would stand to reason that
I figure it just went through a baby book.
Yeah.
it was on the A's.
I was like, first it just page. Opened to the A's. Like, well, there you go. Annabelle. Yeah.
And so it seems like this large franchise, as any large franchise tends to do, is some continuity errors as far as like the original, you know, story of, you know, Annabelle's first appearance in The Conjuring to the previous one to this one, like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not wildly concerned that everything adds up perfectly. I mean, this isn't, like, Lost we're watching here. We're not poring over every frame and making sure everything adds up completely right.
No, we're horror fans. We expect everything to be accurate, including the year that Legos were...
in the trailer. But
even for, like being horror fans where we expect white people to do the stupidest things possible, this one went to new levels of white people doing really dumb shit.
Yeah.
And like, especially when it gets to the point where you find out, okay, so why is the fucking evil doll even in the house that you agreed to let turn into a girls' school? And you're like, if you were there, you would have just smacked the shit out of the guy going, what are you, a moron?
So many bad decisions. I mean, like an epic proportion of bad decisions were made in this movie. And even little kids, like, yeah, they're naturally curious and they'll go and like explore weird shit. But I mean, after you get attacked by a demon the first time,
yeah, you're pretty much
I'm going to nope out of there. I'm not going to go exploring closets and shit playing hide and seek by myself.
And there's another girl is in the room, is obviously creeped out by the room, and then on another night sees creepy things happening through the keyhole and then proceeds to open the door. It's like, no, just go away.
Why would you know? You already know that room is fucked up. You have literally been told that room is fucked up, not to go in there. You felt it. You've experienced it, and you're still opening the door? What the fuck are you doing? I don't think there's a kid on the planet who would have opened that door or even gotten near the keyhole for that matter.
Animate object is moving. Let's go check it out.
I've been like 8 years old, and I would have gone, fuck that, out loud. There's also a lot of times you're like, this is a farmhouse in the middle of this giant open countryside, and I'm just like, book ass! grass? Yeah. Why is everyone Felicia. Like, well, we can't leave the grounds? Like, fuck that. Run. Yeah. Run. I think devils only have, they're like Wi-Fi. They only really can cover so much ground
before you're pretty much safe. Yeah, I don't think
they can follow you at all. But, you know, I mean, assuming, unless you took the doll with you.
Let's find out.
By the way, you see, there were not one but two references to the Ring series in this movie, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah,
one of which the idea of like throwing a girl down a well, which looks a lot like the well from the Ring. And then two, and people who never watched the Japanese ones wouldn't pick it up, the Ring Zero has really incredibly creepy sequence, which is one of the creepiest sequences in this as well, with like a little girl who's like spontaneously their limbs are growing by like a foot at a time. And
well,
like
even the
sort of way.
The actress who plays the little girl, Annabelle, her name is Samara.
Oh, my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Samara Lee as Annabelle B. Mullins. Wow, that's fucking creepy, JC. Thanks. I'm going to sleep great tonight. Yeah. That's creepier to me than this movie was. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, I was saying to patients on the way over here, the thing is that they've got a formula that works really well as long as it doesn't go on too long. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they forgot that because both this and The Conjuring 2 went on too long. It was like, yeah, you're just doing all the right things. You're just, there's no reason for you to stretch it out as far as you have. This should be like a amusement park ride. You got to get in and you get out.
Yeah, they're not wanting more.
Horror is like comedy.
Yeah. Right?
You know?
They're definitely not giving us more bang for our buck. They're just dragging it out and making it exhausting for us. And I mean, 20 minutes less of the jump scares and this movie would have been a lot better.
Especially because this movie commits a fairly egregious sin in that the tension really ratchets down after a very cliche and super cheesy moment.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you do that?
What's that point?
I mean, they went to like one of the worst places you can go as a horror fan. You're just like, oh, for God.
Just such
sakes.
A cheesy line where you're like, there is absolutely no reason for you to spell it out that literally because then it just becomes a huge cliche. When you don't know what the creatures are specific, when they're more ambiguous, they're better. And as well, we kind of see too much of whatever this thing is, whatever this demon thing is.
Where I thought I'm just that, too.
Like, why are you even showing this to us?
I thought at one point, I was like, I haven't seen the doll very much. I mean, I know, granted, even throughout the history of all the other movies, like, the doll didn't really do anything, but it's still creepy to look at.
Yeah, and the doll just kind of like, they're like, oh, it's a doll, and then the doll does nothing, something else entirely does. And you're just like, all right, well, fine.
I was also confused because there seemed like, at one point in time, you're like, how many ghosts or demons are in this house right now? Because there's a lot of like red herring type issues with like,
they're like, just one demon's doing this?
And you're just like, wait, what?
They're like a one man marching band of
like
demons.
I mean, we got like a doll, we got like creepy scarecrow guy. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot going on.
I think it's like
on.
A demonic force that can just float around and possess all kinds of shit. Like, it's just like, it's just the one force, but it's like invisible unless it doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so many different ways that this one entity took shape that you're just like, oh, okay, so that's what they're doing now. They're branching out.
Also begs the question, if this thing was, you know, the place was safe, in quotation marks, before the girls came, and you see the way and specific, you know, purpose it was safe, how was it able to get going what it was doing in the first place, get the whole thing started? I was like, well, you shouldn't have any influence.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of issues like that, and I realize that can be all overthinking about a horror movie, and honestly, most audiences are going to see him. This thing is not going to give a fuck about any of that.
Yeah.
They just want there to be lots of time.
As evidenced by the crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd was lots of fun. They're all like, go, what are you doing,
screaming
girl?
At the screen.
Like, get the fuck out of there. Oh, hell no. You know, all that stuff you expect, where the crowd is having a good time. They're doing all the stuff that they're supposed to do at a jump scare type horror movie. And I, like I said, overall does most of that pretty well. It's just we're starting to have seen this exact formula too many times by now.
Yeah.
But why don't JC, you give us your final thoughts?
That formulaic thought is a good place to start with because, it's really formulaic. But like I said at first, like I appreciate the effort to make this a better overall movie than to just know that audiences will eat it up. If you slap The Conjuring, part of The Conjuring universe on it, audiences will eat it up. It'll make money at the box office. I think audiences will really respond to this. It's a much better movie than the first one. You're not going to see anything too original as far as if you really love horror. It's You know, it depends on how much you expect out of them. Some people really expect and truly want great movies out of their horror. For the most part, I kind of hover somewhere in the middle. I really appreciate the effort to make something good rather than understanding how easy it is to make money at one of these movies. So, that being said, I would give this 7 out of 10 doll hairs.
Nice. Annabelle? I mean, Patience?
Creepy laugh.
She did. She creeped me out with her laugh. I was like, damn, you got a creepy laugh, Patience. You take her laugh out of context and put it in a spooky thing, you'd be like, damn, that's a demon laugh.
Why, thank you. I agree with JC wholeheartedly. I think that you can definitely tell that they tried to make a better movie here. This wasn't just them like riding the Conjuring coattail train. It is a little bit, but they definitely tried to make a movie that like stood on its own and had, you know, at least some artistic merit to go. It's very formulaic. I mean, I think that for what it's meant to do, it does it pretty darn well, except it just needed to be just at like half an hour, 20 minutes to half an hour, like shorter, and I would be a much happier person right now. I'm going to give it 6 Hail Marys out of 10.
I think we're more or less all on the same page. I mean, I will like hand it to pretty much like The Conjuring, Conjuring 2, this, and even Ouija 2, which isn't part of the shared universe, but it's definitely part of the same creative brain trust from Blumhouse. They've got this way of like being aware that a lot of their audience is familiar with horror tropes and can predict things that are happening by things that have become so familiar with camera movements, with the way things start to happen. They've gotten pretty good at doing the opposite of what you necessarily expect exactly to happen inside things. And so getting your goat with the jumps that way. And they still do that pretty good here too. There's some very creative moments in scares. It's just, there's nothing creative in plot happening here at all.
No.
It's very bland. It's very, the storyline as it is totally absurdly silly and unbelievable and whatever. That's fine. Once again, like I said, this is not really for the same people who are watching The Black Coat's Daughter.
Exactly.
And going, that's a masterpiece.
This is for me.
This is not for
fans.
The Babadook crowd.
Casuals.
Yeah. Yeah. The pink boys. But it is what it is. And judged on that level, it's not bad. I just wish it was better than it was, really. I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 completely useless crucifixes.
Nice.
Because I don't know, it's with demons. They're just like, seriously? A cross? Really?
You got to do better than
that. I'm Jewish.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.